The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
Is that it is Aggie Week. Arkansas plays Texas A&M every season. The game's going to be held in Arlington, where apparently Ty's got a paid vacation. He's going to go down there and hang out. I need to get on that deal. I guess I didn't negotiate well enough when you first hired me, Tommy, to get those extra vacation days during the football season. But, yeah, so Ty's going
to
be down
now
there.
You took 2 weeks in the middle of the summer to go shark fishing, apparently. You
know? Yeah, but it wasn't during football season.
That's true.
So, I mean, I think we can find a good balance there. But so there, you guys are going to be down there doing your halftime show there live on Friday. And, you know, it's a cool place. It's a cool atmosphere. It's a cool stadium. But
we'll be back here slaving over hot microphones while he's, you know, on some party.
We're going to start the show out like that.
Yeah, and at 6 a.m. 6 a.m.
It's just Tuesday, son.
Tuesday. That's why I told him yesterday. He comes up. He's like, y'all are going to give me crap. Y'all are going to give me crap on the pregame show when I'm down there, aren't you? I was like, are you kidding me? We're going to give you crap starting tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's going to be keep going. So just have to expect it. But, you know, it's a unique game every single year because you do play it in Arlington. You do play it in Jerry World, and it is against the Texas A&M Aggies. And it's just funny because I have been of the advocate. Well, this was something that we talked about during the summertime. I've said this for years, that I always felt like if Arkansas was going to have a quote-unquote rival, Texas A&M would be the most make-sense, logical bet to have. And there's a lot of history between these two teams, between going in back into the Southwest Conference days, and that's something that Arkansas doesn't have with any other team in the SEC anywhere close. And so it's always interesting because since they've joined the SEC, there's always been these new matchups and these new series records. But when you get to play teams like Texas or Texas A&M or whoever from those old Southwest Conference days, it's almost like you get stories. You get times back in history from your dad or from your granddad when he talks about, I remember the time that we played this team and this happened and how I almost got in a fight with an Aggie fan and all this stuff. And I think that's what makes this game so unique and so fun, but also why I feel like it's so important for Arkansas to get a win against them. It's been way too long. It's been six straight tries. Tyler Wilson was the quarterback. He was a junior in college the last time Arkansas beat Texas A&M. And if there's one team that I feel like Arkansas should be pretty balanced in as far as wins and losses and back and forths, it should be Texas A&M.
I know they've been very close. Was it double overtime last year?
It was. Mm. Yep. They've been in overtime.
Just overtime.
Yeah, just overtime.
50-43.
50-43, yeah. It was just one overtime.
You thought a Brett Bielema coach team could go to two overtimes, Tommy? Sorry. Come on now. But they've had close games every single year, essentially. A couple of overtime games that they played in the Brett Bielema era, which is such a weird thing of why Texas A&M they were always close with. I don't know if it was just the matchup between Kevin Sumlin and Brett Bielema, two vastly overrated and not very good coaches at all. Maybe they found ways to screw up in their own right, and that's why it was just a matter of who could screw up more in the game, and it always ended up being Brett Bielema. Maybe that was the case. But I don't know, but that's just a game that if I'm a Razorback fan, I want to win that one almost more in any other game. Tommy, that's a look of absolute disgust that you just gave me. What's this
about?
No,
not at you. Not at you.
Okay.
Oh, just something I was reading here in the notes.
Well, if you're reading anything like stats or anything like that, then yeah, you're probably going to give a few disgusted looks.
Yeah.
If you're breaking down the Arkansas side of things. But, you know, this, I think that this game means a lot more to Razorback fans just to win because you're tired of losing to Texas A&M. And Texas A&M is one of the few teams also, too, that you can relate to where they came from a different conference in that conference that maybe they felt like they were slighted, they weren't getting the benefits, they weren't being treated fairly, or at least as fairly as you'd like. So they left. They left and they joined the SEC just in a newer face. So there's a lot of similarities between these two teams as far as their history goes, as far as their how they went about in their programs, successful getting into a new conference. Culturally, I don't think you could get anything further different, but still, there's a lot of similarities between these two programs.
Yeah, and both have felt like stepchildren at some point, and you know, and A&M has had a shot here in the last, what's Texas really been down for, about 5 years now?
Essentially, once Mack Brown left.
Had a chance to really dominate that state and kind of take over since, really about since they joined the SEC. Since they kind of, you know, not announced it, but physically moved into the league. And they haven't done it. They've really kind of left a lot on the table, I think, in the last 5 years.
Yeah, I do too.
Because the state of Texas has been up for grabs as far as planting the flag, we are the team, and A&M has not done that.
And I think that's what makes Texas A&M so weird. Well, one of the reasons why they're weird is because you feel like they're a program that should be really good at football every single year because of the advantages that they do have. They have more money than most schools. Well, I mean,
the Forbes list, they were number one as far as value.
Yeah, they have more money than they know what to do with, obviously paying Jimbo Fisher as much as they are and paying Kevin Sumlin to go away.
Huge stadium. Even bigger donor base.
Huge fan base in general.
Huge, yeah, because they crank out so many cadets and graduates every year.
Yeah, but Boy Scouts over there,
But they have a huge alumni base that pumps in that are religious about pumping money back into their university.
Yeah. I mean, they have a great setup financially. Mm-hmm. A great setup.
That's why they're number one on that Forbes list.
And that's what makes it so strange. And because we've talked about Arkansas, say if Arkansas was on that list, but they weren't winning at a high level, you'd say, well, maybe it's recruiting. Maybe it's because they don't have a lot of in-state recruiting. Can't say that for Texas A&M. They're in the state of Texas.
Arkansas was 13th. That's frustrating here that can't even be a top 25 team.
So what's Texas A&M's excuse? That's my question. What is their excuse? Because it's not like they just now came into money. They've had money. They've had support. They've been in the state of Texas. You can't blame it all on the fact that they're the stepbrother to Texas every single year. You can't do that because there's other schools that find ways to be successful that, like, for instance, in Auburn, they're next to Alabama. Michigan State's next to Michigan. Oklahoma State's next to Oklahoma. Now, you may not have the high-end success, but you're definitely having some success of your own, even though you may not be considered the, quote, flagship of the state.
Well,
so what is their excuse?
None of those other schools are Aggies.
That's right. And the thing is that's why I chalk it up to maybe just being as simple as that. You're Aggies.
Just Aggies.
Because why else would this team, this program, with every single benefit and advantage you could possibly have, why are they not better at football?
Maybe it's just what you said. Every single benefit and advantage you could possibly have. Maybe it's that. Sometimes when you have everything you want, everything you need, everything you desire from a resource standpoint at your fingertips, nothing that you could ever want for is not available. Where's the real motivation to go and make sure it's done at the highest level?
Maybe you don't have it.
Now, maybe Jimbo Fisher, we're already trying to write the book on Jimbo Fisher here a little bit in this conversation before he's had a chance, you know. Maybe he will be the guy that gets it done. We'll see. We don't know yet. But see what I'm saying? If it's kind of like a kid that's a spoiled brat that's been given everything their entire life, and we wonder why they didn't graduate college and achieve and go on to do great things, be a doctor, be a lawyer, be, be something in life of great substance.
Yeah.
Well, why? Because why would they need to be? They've been given everything.
That could be it.
I don't know. I'm as mesmerized as you about how something, a program with as much resources at their disposal could not have better results. Now, the other thing you listed, Oklahoma State, Michigan State, Auburn, and, you know, all of them except Auburn have to deal with who? Auburn has to deal with Alabama. None of those other programs have to deal with Alabama in their division.
Right.
Now, Auburn's the exception. Now, Auburn and Alabama are great rivals, and out of that rivalry comes a lot of emotion where a lot of things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Auburn is close to Atlanta, can get a lot of those recruits. Now,
A&M doesn't have an excuse. They're close to Houston, to Houston. Still can recruit Dallas. I mean, they got a great recruiting setup there.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
So that doesn't work for me.
So what's the excuse? I mean, that's what I'm trying to figure out. That's why we're discussing it. Because, no, I don't think anyone has a true, legit answer for it, at least one that makes sense. And, you know, you've had some good seasons at A&M. But even coaches that have come in that had success at other programs, like remember Dennis Franchione, people thought he was going to be really great at A&M. He left Alabama, had some good years there, goes into A&M.
Coach that brought him into the SEC, and then they...
No, that's Mike Sherman.
Sherman, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but he was fired the year before they joined the SEC.
Okay, that's right.
So then Kevin Sumlin was the first coach to coach a game as an SEC team at Texas A&M.
Okay.
So his first year was Johnny Manziel's first year. But either way, that's what's comical about it all. And
is it coaching up until this point that they haven't just had the right coach?
They've had coaches that's been successful elsewhere, and so...
But not to the level you're talking about.
No. No.
Not to the level of expectation. I mean, what is a reasonable expectation? Let's back up the train a little bit. What is a reasonable expectation for A&M? You're saying they're not getting it done. Well, what should they be doing?
I think A&M should be a team that is consistently competing for the SEC West every single year. Not just kind of, but going up. I think that A&M
has to... They should be Auburn or LSU.
Yes. I'm not saying they'll catch Bama. No one can catch Bama. But they should be in the conversation every year.
Mm-hmm.
They should beat Bama on occasion. Because they're getting just as...
They did with Manziel.
Yeah, right. Once. And... That was really
Johnny Manziel beat them.
No, that wasn't Texas A&M. That was definitely Johnny Manziel. So they should be a team that I think is not only consistently competing for that, but a team that's winning at least 9 games a year. That's what I think they should be, because they have it better than Arkansas. They have it better than Mississippi State. In a lot of ways, they have it better than Auburn. They just should be one of those teams. So that's what I think about it, at least. And I want to know people's thoughts and theories on this. If you have a reason, or if you have an idea of why Texas A&M is not better at football than what they have been as a program, please let us know.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skip it. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas!
You know, we've been talking a little bit about the game coming up this weekend. Arkansas, Texas A&M being played in Arlington. Posed a question on Twitter, getting some pretty funny responses of, given all the advantages and benefits that Texas A&M has, how come they're not a better football program than what they have been in their history? And we may bring that up later in the show. But the thing I want to bring up here, guys, is playing this game in Arlington, Dallas Cowboys Stadium at Jerry World. We know the contract expires in 2024. That will be the last time that these two teams, unless they renew it, which I sincerely doubt they will, because Texas A&M hates playing this game in Arlington. So that's when it ends. We've seen a lot of games be played there for Arkansas, and it started off great for them. Started off 3-0. But since that point, they've gone 0-4. So the question I want to pose is, first off, is this game worth playing in Jerry World? Because I hear about the recruiting side of things. Now, it's great for recruiting. Well, we know that Brett Bielema didn't do that because he didn't care about recruiting the state of Texas. So it didn't matter. Now, Chad Morris does, and maybe that'll help him out. But playing this game, continuing to play this game in Dallas Cowboys Stadium, is that something we want to continue to see, or does it need to be put aside once the contract is up?
Two conversations here. Maybe three conversations. One about recruiting, two about finances, and three about winning. I don't know which order you start in. Obviously, the winning part here lately not been good, and that's kind of the end of the conversation. You went through the record. You're not winning in that building. That's a problem. Is that the reason you quit playing, is can't win there? Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's part of the consideration. Mm-hmm. Number two, you get, what, $5 million a year that Jerry puts up that you're getting to go play that game? I believe it's $5 million a year you
Sounds
get
right, yeah.
For going down there. That can't be ignored. And then the recruiting aspect. You want to have a presence in Texas. You want to, I think, even outside of Texas, players you're recruiting in Arkansas, players you're recruiting in Oklahoma and Louisiana and in the region. There was at a time, and maybe there still is, I know when the building was newer, there certainly was some cachet, some influence that playing, being able to say, we play a game at Cowboys Stadium every year, had some influence. Does it still? So I think those are the three things you got to weigh and figure out what the priorities are. Does the recruiting angle still play with kids? Is it still a big deal? I don't have a feel for the pulse on that. I know this, $5 million is still $5 million.
So that's a little chunk of change you can put in your pocket. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a head coaching salary pretty much.
I know this. In the grand scheme of $110, $120 million budget, where does that, does that become the priority? Now with your $160 million expansion and the money you're going to have come in from that, does that maybe offset some of that to the point you can willing make some of that back by playing another game at home? Okay, you get the $5 million, but how much money would you get back by playing another game at home? So I think you'd lose some money that you would have at home by playing another game on your campus. Cost you to go down there. You're not selling your home seats. I mean, there's a list of things. You're spending money to go. Yeah, you get the $5 million, but, Arkansas's not selling a lot of those tickets. I bet it's a pretty light crowd this year, too. And
probably
it's expensive to go down there.
Probably the lightest crowd you've seen in this matchup and in this game. Both contracts of War Memorial Stadium and Dallas Cowboys Stadium end in 2024. I think if Arkansas has to choose between the two of which one to continue, they will choose playing in Dallas Cowboys Stadium. And if they don't, they're idiots. I think we can all agree there. However, I don't think that the game itself is going to continue on. Because I hear, going back to your point, let me give you a reaction to your point. I believe that there are players, especially in the state of Texas, and with Chad Morris wanting to recruit the state of Texas, that there is a lot of credit that needs to be given to playing in an NFL stadium as a high school player, if you can pitch that to them. Because in the state of Texas, you also have a lot of kids that are probably Dallas Cowboy fans that may have not ever get to play in that stadium. Maybe they're not good enough to make it to the pros. You hope that they can.
And
be
don't
up to
they
that
play
point.
The Texas high school state championships in that building?
Certainly do.
So, some of those kids may have gotten to play there.
Yeah.
Many dream of playing there for that reason. They didn't get there. Here's a way to do it,
And so, by having that, and by playing that game there, and by making that recruiting pitch, I think if it's done the right way, it can be extremely beneficial to Arkansas specifically. But I think the problem is, and what we've seen, and the 3 points that you've brought up, Tommy, when it comes to financially, in terms of the winning, comes to recruiting, Arkansas has not reaped the benefits of that because Brett Bielema didn't handle that the right way. He did not do and take advantage of that opportunity that they had.
He didn't think Texas was important for recruiting.
No, he didn't think it was important for recruiting. They didn't win the games down there. I don't know. No, I can't sit here and say one way or the other whether or not the part of the winning issue there was just because he didn't take it as seriously. I don't know. But what I do know is that if Chad Morris can establish himself, and it probably won't happen this year, maybe next year, maybe the year after that. We'll see how Jimbo Fisher does at A&M, too. But if he can start establishing a winning culture that can also go into Jerry World and win those games, I think that the contract will expand further on. It just won't be against Texas A&M. Because Jerry Jones wants his team, he wants his Razorbacks to play in his stadium. He said that multiple times. And I think Arkansas needs to continue to play in that stadium every single year. The problem that sucks right now is like next season, 2019 season, you have two SEC home games in Fayetteville next year. Two. Because you have a game in Jerry World against Texas A&M, and you have a game in Little Rock against Missouri, and that's where it causes the problems. But once you don't have the Little Rock game,
this is going to be a problem
until
every other year.
Yeah. And until that game in Little Rock's taken away, then I think it'll open up and be a little easier on fans, too, because it just doesn't make sense to only have two SEC games in your home stadium.
No, it never makes sense to only have two. You should have four, mm-hmm. you know. That's what you should have.
Which leads to my next point. If they're not going to play Texas A&M, and I don't think they should continue to play Texas A&M down there, it needs to be a non-conference game. Does not need to be another SEC team that you play down there every year.
So who would be willing to give up one of their home games to play you there every year?
And that is the key question. I don't know.
I
don't know which programs would.
That's a good enough matchup to do it.
I have a few ideas that I think of teams that would be good matchups to play down there. I've mentioned Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a solid matchup for both teams.
They put a lot of money into their home stadium
recently. They sure do. They sure do.
In the last 5 or so years.
But it doesn't have to be an extended contract either. It can be a home and home. Or not a home and home, but a two-game series.
And this contract runs, what, through 2024, you said?
That's right.
So that's 6 more years. Jerry's, what, 75 now?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at some point, Steven's going to have a lot of say in this. And Jerry's not going away anytime soon, but also got to keep in mind, it's not just going to be about what Jerry wants at some point.
Yeah. But I think that they will continue to have Arkansas play there if they can. If they can
absolutely.
Make it work.
You think Steven's going to want it any different?
No, not at all. Especially because
I'm just saying that
it's such a benefit.
Jerry Jones is in his mid-70s. We're talking about a contract
right.
that's going to run its course when he is in his early 80s.
Yeah.
So
and he probably will
and
be retiring
at
some point, maybe. I don't
he
know.
He will never. You know when he's going to retire? The day after his funeral.
Probably so.
Jerry Jones will run that team and run that organization until after his death.
He's not slowing down anytime soon.
Guys like Jerry Jones never retire.
Mm-mm. And Arkansas is going to continue to play there as long as Jerry Jones has something to say about it. So that's my whole thing is because I enjoy going down to that game. Always have. Even when Arkansas lost, there were still fun things to do because Dallas is a fun city. That stadium is absolutely incredible.
Great.
I mean, you have so many things about it that's so great.
Wish we were going.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. But guess we have to go next year.
It's got
to
work.
Yeah. That's right. But with all those advantages, it just hasn't been utilized the way it should have been for Arkansas because of Rhett Bielema and what's been going on. Yeah. And I feel like that's what's made more of a sour taste in people's mouth is because of that.
But if Arkansas was 2-2 over the last four, you'd feel differently about it.
Of course you would.
It's about the losing. It's not about anything other than that.
Especially the ways you lost.
You'd be, hey, let's extend this contract. If you were 3-1 the last 4 years, let's extend this contract. 20-year deal.
As long as you can do it.
I think it's more about A&M not wanting to extend the contract, right?
Yeah,
Arkansas,
it absolutely is.
I still think Arkansas would still want to extend this contract, but it hurts them. It's a conference opponent.
But I'm going to tell you, there's something about, I feel like we're missing out as Razorback fans not having A&M come to Fayetteville every other year.
I think
there's something about that stinks.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I'd like to go to Kyle Field sometime in my life, you know?
Yeah. You have to wait until like after 2024.
I'd like to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just got to be a non-con Big 12.
What was it, 2012?
2012
went down there
and
it was
senior year.
Pouring down rain.
They got beat 58-10.
Yeah, it was bad.
Man,
the game
out.
Stunk, and then B, the weather was worse.
Yeah. Manziel's coming out party there. Yeah, remember that game very well. But you'll get your choice there in 2024.
Yeah, they I just think that's a game that has a lot of passion and a lot of interest and should be played on the home campuses at some point.
I agree there. And I want a game to continue to be in Dallas Cowboys Stadium. I just don't think it needs to be the A&M game going forward. That's my point.
Don't disagree.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Chad Morris yesterday, when he met with the media, he was talking about the special teams, or lack thereof. I mean, I don't even know. Can that even be classified as special teams?
they
were special in their own right.
Yeah.
That is for sure. And it has cost Arkansas not only games, but field position a lot of times. And that's been a big factor in Arkansas's poor play in a lot of these matchups. Well, here's what Chad Morris had to say in addressing that issue.
Special teams, very disappointed in the amount of emphasis that we placed on special teams around here, and to put the production out that we did was unacceptable. Your fundamentals have to hold up under pressure. And that's something that we've got to go back and we're going to go look at. It was unacceptable, and we got to get better in all phases in our special teams.
So there you have it. I mean, and he used the word again, unacceptable. Yeah.
So what are you going to do about it? Who's coaching them? What's going to happen behind the scenes?
We put a lot of emphasis in special teams each and every week, and have done that all the way through camp and fall and spring. And I am involved. We'll have a meeting with me and the entire staff and with Tanner on Monday nights, and we go through the entire game plan, and we break our meetings down through the course of the week, to where each day we're getting 15 to 20 minutes of meeting times on each phase of special teams, and we'll continue to do that. And I think we'll go back. The thing about this is, as I looked at it, it can be fixed. And we've just got to go back to putting the pressure on to where that when the pressure is on, our fundamentals have to hold up.
Can it be fixed? Is he right? Can it be fixed?
The thing is, 15 to 20 minutes a day.
Ain't enough.
Of meeting time. I mean, that's what he said. Now, I don't know how much
in
practice.
In each phase, of the special teams.
Doesn't seem like a lot. Now, I'm with the, everyone said, we've got to have a special teams coach. I don't think having someone with the label of special teams coordinator is going to be the magic elixir that fixes all of this. That's just someone you can point the finger at when it all goes wrong. But that having someone that is now your special teams coordinator isn't the answer that's just going to magically fix it. Now, that might be a step in the right direction. But that isn't the magic wand.
But I think what people say that and what they see it as is maybe just not having the label, but just having someone with the title that's dedicated to where they do nothing but special teams, but, and they get the time and the allowance.
It doesn't
to
matter
do so.
Who has the title if the practice time's not there to work on it.
I agree. But when they don't see a special teams coach, they say they got to have somebody, or hopefully they have somebody. If it's Tanner Burns in this situation, that's fine, but there has to be time dedicated to special teams right now. Not just time, an extraordinarily amount of time dedicated to this because this is killing you in these games. Offense and defense are important. More important, but you got to have some help here.
And there's merit to it both ways. I mean, I looked it up for this season, but in last season's SEC media guide, it was about half the schools had a special teams coordinator and half didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can say what you want. I'll look that up here in the SEC media guide, what you're supposed to, what the other schools are doing. I mean, it can't hurt to have someone that's in charge of that. But again, until the head coach says, all right, we're going to dedicate X minutes of practice and we're going to give more time, I think it comes back to time and practice. And then also, how many of your ones are going to be on special teams? Because I don't think Arkansas has enough team depth to put twos and threes on special teams.
Nope.
And get the job done.
Play your best players on special teams right now.
That's exactly right.
I mean, you're just going to have to do that. By the way, I've been waiting for this phone call this week. This is Gary and Arkadelphia on the phone lines. What's going on, Gary?
Good morning, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Y'all talking about special teams. And Tommy, you got to have a special teams coordinator that just – focuses his time on special teams. And they're saying they spend 15 minutes in a meeting room on each phase of the kicking game. I bet they spend more time on each position in meetings than they do on special teams. So,
well, that's my point, Gary. Just because you give someone the title doesn't mean that's going to fix the
well,
problem.
Well, here's what we got to do. As much money is involved in this game now, they've limited the hours to 20 hours a week. Okay, you only have 9 coaches.
Ten,
I think the coaches
now.
Need to
you have 10.
Well, 10 with counting the head coach. What I'm saying is, the coaches need to lobby for at least 2 to 3 more hours a week practice time. Okay, they need to have a offense or special teams coordinator on staff. He can't recruit. He can't recruit off campus. That eliminates all that worry. Okay, and he.
You can have all the analysts you want, though. They can bring in all the staff members they want.
Well, I know they can have. You had a very good point yesterday about bringing in Brett Good. You can bring in somebody as a consultant. But you do need somebody, and maybe this is what Chad Morris needs to do. Maybe he needs to become the full-time coordinator on special teams. But you got to spend you can't go out there and spend 15 to 20 minutes before practice or beginning of practice and work on special teams. I mean, you've got to have time. Maybe you got to spend more time on Thursdays working on special teams. But they got to lobby to get a little more practice time. As much money is involved in this sport, much money is bringing in. And I know you got to worry about the players, but they're not doing that much physical contact now. That's all been scaled back. So they spend a lot more time in meeting rooms, and that's part of the 20 hours of practice for the week than they do on the actual field. So I don't see why they can't lobby for a couple, three more hours. And if it's just like, hey, this is just for special teams, and they show us that way. But they got to do something. And I know you don't have the depth. You can't put a lot of your younger guys out there right now. They're not ready. But they got to go out and hire a coordinator. I mean, it only makes sense. As much money is involved. And how you know, you can have the best offense, the best defense in football, but if your special teams suck, you're still going to have a hard time winning ball games. Bottom line,
you still got to know that when the other team has the ball following a punt, you got to tackle them. I mean,
exactly.
You got to know that.
And on the stadium deal, guys, it's kind of funny. Arkansas, we've always done everything back-assards. Okay, leave it to Arkansas to be the last to doing anything. You know, we spent all that money renovating the stadium to add, 3,000-4,000 more seats to it. Was it now 76,000?
Yeah, plus the suites and that have been involved there, too. Yeah. 76.
Okay. All right. Well, you look around all college football. Auburn, how many? There were several thousand empty seats at Auburn Saturday night. Ole Miss started the second quarter. Half the stadium was empty. It wasn't due to the weather delay. People aren't showing up now. Alabama, they're fishing to renovate their stadium, but they're going to do away with about 6,000 seats. Mm-hmm. Missouri's in a renovation process right now. They're going from 71,000 back to 65,000. So everybody's making their stadium smaller, and Arkansas will try to make theirs bigger. And we're trying to play in, Arlington, which Arlington, for me, guys, is 5 miles further to Arlington Stadium than it is to Razorback Stadium. So distance-wise, that's no big deal, okay? But you're talking time you pay fees and everything for an $85 ticket, and, you know, you're talking $100, $105 time to add fees and taxes on it, and you're setting up an upper deck when you can stay home watching on TV. And last year, what, they only sold 65,000 seats for that game. I'd be interested how many they sell this year. So the attendance at Arlington keeps dropping. The best thing that could have happened to Arkansas when they brought A&M, if Arkansas would have lobbied for TCU and brought TCU into this league with A&M, they'd had both the Dallas and the Houston market, and Arkansas could be playing in Texas every year without having to go play in Arlington every year. And it just so, but they got to get out of Arlington and quit playing there. But it's just funny, you start looking at, you know, that article come out last week about attendance dropping, and you start seeing all around college football, there's a lot of empty seats, and now you start seeing all these colleges are renovating less seats. So, and here we add. So, just like Arkansas, we're always back assers and everything. But anyway, guys, that's all I got.
Appreciate the phone call, Gary. You know, there's a lot of points to kind of break down there, but you know, going off of your first point, Gary, and bringing up, you know, the special team side of things too, I don't think Arkansas is the only team. Now, they're the worst at it, but I don't think Arkansas is the only team that is struggling in special teams. I think special teams is just a problem across college football right now. I don't know if it's just because of the lack of emphasis that's put on it. I don't know if it's the lack of ability maybe coming out of high school, because I'm mainly specifically looking at kickers and punters and whatnot, but maybe it's just not people are going out for kickers. Maybe they don't know. I don't know, but maybe I don't know. Am I making that up?
I see kickers on Friday nights, and I know there's a five-yard difference in where you start from, but I see kickers on Friday nights that are consistently on kickoffs, getting it into the end zone and out of the end zone.
So why is that a problem?
But on Saturdays, Arkansas can't even threaten the goal line.
But Arkansas is not the only team that has that problem.
Arkansas,
either.
I see punters on Friday nights that consistently kick it 40 plus yards. Arkansas, bless his heart, Bauer can't.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's just an Arkansas problem, though. I see it across. Now they're the worst at it. But college football across the board, punting is not that great. Kicking is not that great. Alabama can't have it. They don't have a kicker ever. Why? It's just finding consistent kicking games just seems to be something that doesn't exist anymore in college football. And I don't know what happened. I don't know where it went. I don't know what changed. Maybe there's just not enough of an emphasis put on in the high school game of making sure you get a kicker. I don't know. But
we'll get Brett back in here this week and ask him some of these. I mean, here's a guy that knows. He's spent 10 years in the NFL, and I was not really kidding yesterday when I suggested he should be someone maybe they turn to for help when it comes to special teams. I wasn't kidding.
I mean, he had quite a career in special teams, so usually
he would be
helpful.
Would he be someone you would consider to be an expert at special teams? I would.
Well, yeah. I mean
he played
10 experience.
Years in the NFL doing nothing but special teams.
Yeah. No, I think he'd be good at it. I think he'd be good at it. But, yeah, definitely want to talk to him about that when it comes to special team side of things. I mean, can't get any worse than what they have going on right now. That is for sure.
It would be interesting.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.